quickly to Wall. Wall measures. Beal gets open for three. Dagger!
They don't have any time. Here
comes Pierce with 5 seconds left. Pierce with three.
Porter can't find anybody. Gives it to Wall. Porter gets Bradley.
Welcome to Locked On Wizards, part of the Locked On Network, your daily news from local experts. My name is Quentin Mayo at TOQM underscore on Twitter and on Instagram, and I have a very, very special episode for you today. So listen up. You probably read the title. You probably read the description. But I'm going to break it down to you anyway. 2019, the Locked On Wizards podcast has voicemail capabilities. So call in at 804-453-8608. Again, that's 804-453-8608. Leave a message, questions, comments, concerns, constructive criticisms, whatever you want, and you can be featured on a podcast in which we'll answer your questions and your comments and address it all in the pod. But in this episode, it's just me, and shout out to my guy Mark in Boston. He's been a longtime Wizards fan. He left a very, very good inaugural voicemail, so I'm going to read it. Well, actually, I'm going to play it for you guys. You take a listen, and then I'll break it down after it rolls. Stay tuned.
Good morning, Quentin and Becca. This is Mark. I'm calling from Boston, but I'm a Wizards fan going all the way back to 78, the golden years, as it were. That's my 2-year-old son in the background there. So I guess I have a constructive criticism, and I have an idea, a discussed idea that will, I think, probably break Rebecca's heart. The constructive criticism is basically, at least in this last podcast, you said that you were going to talk about should the Wizards try or tank, but you didn't sort of like give an opinion around like whether they should be tanking or like how they should be tanking or, you know, what they might get, they might be tanking. You kind of said a little bit about the draft pick, but I think a little bit more discussion of that might be good. And then my idea, I think we have to be in blow it up mode. And the only way that we're going to get a good draft pick is if we trade Bradley Beal. And I'm wondering if, you know, what you all think about a trade with the Lakers where Bradley Beal goes to the Lakers. Brandon Ingram comes back, and then maybe a couple salary pieces. It could be like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Rondo. I'm having trouble talking this morning for some reason. And a pick. So we get another first round pick, and we get Brandon Ingram, who I think is really promising. We give up an established star, which the Lakers clearly need in order to make their push this year. All right, you can discuss this if you want to in your podcast. Again, my name is Mark. I'm from Boston. Have a good day.
Once again, shout out to my guy, Mark. Thank you for calling and leaving a question, my man. He's out of Boston, but he's a longtime Wizards fan, and I absolutely believe him because it takes a different type of person to call in and even talk about the Wizards in your free time. If you're talking about the Wizards in your free time, you're a dedicated guy. Look at me. Wizards suck, man. But it's a two-part question. I'm going to break down as best as I know how with the sauce, with the swag that I bring. And, yeah, let's get right into it. Two parts. First part is, should the Wizards trade Bradley Beal? And, well, that's the second part. So the Wizards trade Bradley Beal for Rondo and Brandon Ingram, you know, some salary pieces like that. And well, the first part of the question is, should the Wizards tank or should they try? Now, I'm going to start with the Wizards tanking or trying. My answer is they should tank. And here's my plan. After the All-Star selections are made, you rest Bradley Beal. Rest Bradley Beal for a multitude of reasons. One, he's the best player on the team right now. And whether you're looking to build around Bradley Beal for the future and move John Wall per se, you need a healthy Bradley Beal. In any circumstance, you always need a healthy Bradley Beal. So if you're looking to build around Beal and move Wall or Otto Porter down the line, sure, you know what I'm saying? But you still got to rest Beal. You still have to rest him for the future. He's averaging, I believe, 36.7 minutes per game. That is the third highest in the NBA, right behind Anthony Davis and James Harden. He's playing too many minutes. It's absolutely ridiculous. You rest Bradley Beal. Or if you're planning on trading Bradley Beal, if you're planning on giving him away, sending him to another team and seeing what you get back for him, you still need to rest him. People already know what a talent Bradley Beal is. They know how great he can be. They know how great of a shooter he is. They know how he's starting to develop his playmaking. His playmaking ability has definitely rose since John Wall has been out with injuries for the past two seasons. It's increased, and it's impressive. And one thing that hasn't been getting a lot of credit from Bradley Beal is his finishing. His finishing is exquisite. Have you ever heard exquisite described as a finisher? But his finishing has improved, much improved since last season. And I think it's actually been his bright spot. Not his shooting, but his playmaking and his finishing around the rim have been extremely, extremely impressive this year. So, yeah, you need to rest Bradley Beal first and foremost. And this is like the first step of the tank. Make sure he gets into the All-Star selection, and then you rest him. You rest him big time. Because now that you're resting him, it's time for the second part of my tank plan. You develop Troy Brown Jr. and you develop Thomas Bryant. Develop Troy Brown Jr. and you develop Thomas Bryant. And it shouldn't be, this is not some life-changing announcement that I'm making. These two guys, for one, Troy Brown Jr. is averaging 7 minutes a game. The fourth lowest out of the rookies in this class. 7 minutes per game. He was a lottery pick. He's averaging 7 minutes per game. You brought in Ron Baker, who just got waived the other day. Ron Baker averaged more minutes with his time with the Wizards than Troy Brown Jr. did. Their lottery pick, you developed Troy Brown Jr. And Thomas Bryant has been one of the lone bright spots on this team. And I'm just so impressed with him. You need to continue to develop him, as he will be an extremely valuable asset to this team down the line. In Washington, they have his contract is on the books. So you can extend a qualifying offer to him this offseason for around 1.8. But with his performances and what he's been doing so far as a Wizard, you know, he might have a market. Not a big team market where all the teams are clamoring to get him, but a handful of teams might, you know, try to extend an offer to him and pick him up for maybe $2-3 million. He'll be a cheap guy. Actually, it'll be more than 2 or 3. But yeah, some teams will be interested in having a big man that has high intensity. He goes hard every single night. He's extremely efficient. He's shooting the first highest field goal percentage on the team. He has the best effective field goal rating on the team right now. And he's just a great locker room guy. He's a great glue guy. He's a guy that you look out on the court, and if Otto is slumming or Saddle's not having the best game, Bill's, you know, going through one of his spells, Thomas Bryant is right there on the defensive end, on the offensive end. So he's one guy that you definitely want to develop, continue to develop him, and especially assuming that we're going to assume that Dwight Howard's opting into his contract next year. It doesn't look too bright for him coming back this season. What does he have to come back for? You know, but he was given a second-year player option, which, you know, Ernie Grunfeld is famous for those. So he's going to opt into his contract and try to continue to revitalize and revamp his career in Washington, and at least try to get out of there next year after showing teams that he still has something in the tank. But he'd be a great 1-2 instead of instead of a Dwight Howard and Yamahimi, Dwight Howard and Thomas Bryant. Or maybe Thomas Bryant, sometimes when Dwight Howard is initially coming back, he needs some rest. Thomas Bryant has been starting recently. He's getting good minutes, and he's being extremely productive on that end of the floor, on both ends of the floor. So I say you continue to develop him, as well as Troy Brown Jr. And Troy Brown Jr., it's really pertinent that you develop him. I mean, it's. I've said something in each and every podcast that we've talked about the Wizards, about the lack of Troy Brown playing time. And I just can't stress enough. He's a lottery pick. Either you develop him in the NBA when your team is already shorthanded. Not only are they shorthanded, but they're shorthanded of playmakers. Playmakers. The reason, and this is all Ernie and Scott Brooks preached all offseason when they drafted him, is that he's a wing. He's a bigger guy. He can guard 1 through 4, 1 through 3, sometimes 4, because he's so tall and he's long. He has a wingspan of like a 7-footer. You can do those things with him, but he's so smart. He's been a point guard all his life. It was only until late in high school and then his years at Oregon, that he began, playing the wing. He's been a point guard all his life. And I just did a video on New Year's resolutions for the Wizards. Draft Express, all these NBA.com, all these experts have talked about what they love from Troy Brown is the fact that he can find the open man. He's so smart. His IQ is through the roof. He's a playmaking wing. And if you need playmaking guards and wings on your team, it's no reason why Troy Brown should not be getting minutes. And it's also no reason why I like Chase and Randle. I see what they're trying to do. They're trying to develop another pure point guard while John Wall is hurt. But even when John Wall was still in and out the lineup, just Chase and Randle was still getting more minutes than him. I don't see why you play Chase and Randle so many minutes and Ron Baker so many minutes, but Troy Brown Jr. can't get any minutes. The only time he got substantial minutes after John Wall's injury was the game after, and he had a good game. So I don't understand why that was the only time he got minutes. He needs to get more minutes. He has not played. He didn't play last night or two nights ago in Oklahoma City. They were up by 20 on the Thunder, and 6 minutes to go, and I 6 to 7 minutes to go, I get on Twitter and I say, look, Scott, take Bradley Beal off the game. You're up by 20. Give him a break. Rest him. And Troy Brown Jr. can see the floor. He can't see the floor when you're getting blown out by 20 to scrub teams or decent teams or teams that are better than you, which is the entire NBA. Or when you're blowing out a team by 20, he can't see minutes on either extreme. So figure out a way to get him on the court. And if you're not going to utilize him in NBA action, send him back to the G League. Stop wasting his time. Allow him to play basketball, full games. Give him substantial minutes, whether it's in the G League or in the NBA. But don't have him up and not give him minutes when you're getting blown out or when you're blowing out a team. It makes absolutely no sense. I don't understand what they're doing with him. But yeah, and Devin Robinson just came up from the G League because they cut Ron Baker. So we'll see if they actually get some playing time. You got to play these guys, man. You got to play these guys. So that's my thing. Two reasons. One, you got to protect Bradley Beal for possible trade asset, or just if you want to go into the future of this organization, he needs to be healthy for both. Whether he's staying in-house or getting shipped out, he needs to be healthy. He needs to be fresh. Rest him after the All-Star selection. My reason number two, or my point number two to how to tank is develop Troy Brown and Thomas Bryant. Develop those young guys. And when I'm talking about tanking, though, I was looking as for a comparison of, you know, this Wizards team doesn't, the front office and the management, they're not embracing a tank. They're not embracing it. They're not calling it a tank. They're trying to compete each and every night. They want to chase the A seed. It used to be we want to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Now it's we want to make it into the playoffs. That's what's being preached. So I'm looking and I'm saying, I'm not going to embrace the tank. Where have I heard this before? And I look, it's the Grizzlies, man. It's the Memphis Grizzlies blueprint. You deny the tank accusations at all costs. And this is what the Wizards should do. And we're going to talk about the Grizzlies and how they're similar to the Wizards. It's eerily similar. It's actually kind of weird. But you deny. Here we go. Here's the blueprint, Wizards. Listen up. Deny all tank accusations. But still appear to compete. But rest your big money guys like Bradley Beal. Maybe even Otto Porter. Rest those guys. Beal does not need to be playing 40 minutes a night. Rest them. Rest those guys. So yeah, you deny all tank accusations. You still compete. You still preach competitiveness, which Scott Brooks is one of his only things he does as a coach. And you develop your younger guys. But and let's be clear though, even with Beal playing 40 minutes, they can't win games consistently on a consistent basis. They can't do it. Whether he's getting rest and he's not playing, or he's playing 45 minutes a game, they're losing either way. So rest your guys. Develop some other guys. It's an unofficial tank. And now let's hop into what I say about what I'm trying to preach about the unofficial tank. And Mark, thanks again for calling in from Boston. I definitely appreciate that. Here's what I'm talking about when I talk about the unofficial tank. Think of the Memphis Grizzlies in 2017, 2018. Some called it a tank job because their team, they were losing so much, but their team just wasn't capable of winning games due to the construct in the foundation of the organization and the roster. They just weren't capable of winning games. That sounds eerily similar to the Washington Wizards right now. Now, I know that a comparison has been made to the Memphis Grizzlies recently, but people haven't really been, they say Grizzlies and they kind of leave it alone. Let's deep dive into this thing, and where else can you get it from but Quinn Mayo, TOKim_ on Twitter and Instagram. You're welcome. Let's dive into it. This is so eerily similar, but this is what the Wizards are in the midst of, and this is what they should do. Okay, in 2017-2018, the Grizzlies finished 22-60. Terrible season. And right now, the Wizards are currently 16-24 after defeating the Oklahoma City Thunder the other night. Now, will the Wizards win more than six games? I assume they will, with the talent they have in Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal is more talented than any player that was still playing on the Grizzlies after they had the injury. So they had injuries to Mike Conley and Chandler Parsons, and I believe even a injury to Marc Gasol at some point. But Bradley Beal is still a more talented player than any of the players that they had after that in Memphis. So they went, 22-60. So the Wizards, I believe they will get six more wins this season, especially when you have teams like Atlanta, New York, Chicago, and Cleveland, who appear in at least eight of the remaining 42 games for the Wizards. So there's no doubt in my mind. I think they can get six more wins here. But, you know, I don't know, though. DC family, man, y'all tell me what's up, because sometimes this team looks pretty terrible. So the issues that were plaguing the Grizzlies last season and the Wizards this season, they're comparable. They're absolutely comparable. They're eerily similar. Number one, injuries caused huge holes in the lineup. Mike Conley, Chandler Parsons, as I just said, they were hurt early on in the season. Conley was hurt eight games into the season. Well, he played eight games that season, and Chandler Parsons played 36, but only started eight games that season. Conley had season-ending injury and surgery to his left heel because of a bone intrusion. Sounds familiar, right? John Wall is getting season-ending surgery because of his left heel. It's the same foot, too. This is weird, right? Also, Dwight Howard, a huge deal this offseason, a huge reason why the Wizards on paper looked like they were ready to at least compete in the Eastern Conference, where LeBron James no longer was in. Dwight Howard had a big part of that. You say, okay, we get rid of Marcin Gortat, Yamahimi, you know, he's not capable of starting. We bring in Dwight Howard, who did not have a bad season at all in Charlotte. Everything that you hear about Dwight Howard is his locker room presence. He has a bad attitude. He doesn't fit in with the guys. It's all about me, and not about the team. But on paper, his statistics and his production, he had a great year. Not a great year, but a good year for his age in Charlotte. So he was a big reason why the Wizards thought they had a chance to succeed this year. He was injured. He's injured, and there's no word on his possible return. And third, when we talk about injuries, Otto Porter. He's missed some time with a knee injury. He's still coming off the bench. He just played his first two games back. This will be his third game back, and he's coming off the bench. So he's dealing with a knee injury. Chandler Parsons was dealing with a knee injury. Conley dealing with a foot injury. Both season ending. Otto Porter's is not season ending, but John Wall's is. So, and Dwight Howard, we have no idea what's going on with him. So that's really, really similar. But even with a full slate of players available, both teams were and are immature. They lack pure NBA skill from top to bottom, and they lack a competent coach. Now, regardless of how you feel about David Fizdale and his job as a head coach in the NBA and the situation that he had in Memphis, there was obviously something going on in the locker room and not going on the floor for Memphis to move on from him in the middle of the season. There's something going on, whether it was offensive philosophy, whether it was attitude, whether it was he was too hard on the player, quote unquote, or Marc Gasol, who's an old head. You know, whatever was going on, they had issues. It just wasn't a competent coach right there in position. They felt like they had to, you know, they had to cut ties with him. Same thing with Scott Brooks. He hasn't been fired, no, but he's not a competent coach. He's like the Jason Garrett of NBA coaches. He's a clapper. He's a motivator. He's a, hey guys, let's try harder. Let's get back on defense. Let's run. Let's push the pace. But coach, can we run some plays? Hey, you play hard, you win games. That's Scott Brooks in a nutshell. So they all have similar issues. They lack pure NBA skill from top to bottom. Both teams had issues with their bench depth. Bench production was a huge issue. You have starters that are really good. Marc Gasol, Mike Conley, Chandler Parsons. But in that system, John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter, they didn't succeed. They lacked coaching, which makes their skill decrease because they're not producing each and every night. They all immaturity. The issues that went on in the locker room in Memphis, I don't know how familiar some of you guys are with the Memphis situation with Marc Gasol and the arguing, the young versus the old, and Fizdale and all that. It's an immature locker room. A whole bunch of stuff going on. And look at the Wizards. Also, immature, cursing out the coaches. John Wall's baby is announced by Austin Rivers on a podcast. All this stuff. Bradley Beal saying, I've been dealing with this for X amount of time. F y'all. F this. F Scott Brooks. Dwight Howard. You know what I'm saying? I don't have to paint that picture, but Dwight Howard. So it's a lot of stuff going on, which makes these two teams eerily similar. Eerily similar. So Brooks, his failures as a coach, it's well documented from his time in OKC to his time here. And also Memphis's front office believed that Memphis had a legitimate, they believed in Ben McLemore. They believed in Mario Chalmers. You know what I'm saying? They believed in what's his name, Deontay Davis. They believed in Jarrell Martin. They believed in these guys. The same way the Wizards will refuse to say we're tanking or giving up on the season, the same way the Wizards believe in Markieff Morris, Otto Porter, Tomas Satoransky. The same way Ernie Grunfeld and Ted believe in these guys, the same way that the Memphis ownership and organization believe in these guys that we all know will have no reason to be in the postseason. They're not capable of winning games alone. It's just not it. It's eerily similar. So now look who we are. The same leadership is intact. The same core group of guys are intact. When I say that, Ernie Grunfeld has been there for how many? 16 years. 16 years. John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter. That core has been together for quite some time. Quite some time. Same way, Memphis Grizzlies. That ownership team has been intact for some time. Sometime, Marc Gasol. What's his name? Mike Conley. Those guys, that core has been together for a long time. It's starting to get old. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. But you see what the Grizzlies got out of it. They're not looked at as a tank team. They're not looked at as the 76ers of the West. Nobody looks at them like that. They looked at a team that just wasn't capable of winning. They looked to compete, quote unquote, every single night. They just could not get it done. And they got a fourth round pick, a fourth pick in the first round in Jaren Jackson, who is now the second leading scorer on that team. He's a bright spot. He's a high pick. You get a high draft pick out of him. Look at the Wizards. It's the same deal. This team is trying to win. It appears as though they're trying to win, but they're losing. So all I'm saying is, Scott Brooks can make it look like you're trying hard all you want. He can tell these guys to play hard. We say the same thing every night. It seemed like they played hard. Shots weren't falling. That's the story of the Wizards. Every single game, they just weren't falling. Defensive miscommunications, took a lot of threes, couldn't make them. Nobody's saying this team is tanking. They're not saying that. They're not embracing a tank. Bradley Beal preaches it every time. I want to go to the playoffs. I'm competing every single night. Okay, I hear you, Bradley. Now, you take that same foundation of what Scott Brooks has put into place, which has not worked since he's been here, and now you say, okay, Bradley will not be the third leading player in minutes in the NBA on a team that is two games out of the eighth seed. He will not be playing 37 minutes and not make the postseason. So then I say, hey, Brad, how about you play 25 minutes per game? Troy Brown, instead of 7 minutes a game, you get 16 minutes a game. Thomas Bryant, you keep playing, you keep starting, you keep getting that time. Otto Porter's working off the bench. It's perfect. It's a perfect opportunity. He's working it off the bench. Hey, let's take down Bradley Beal's time a little bit. That's all you have to do. I'm saying, you tank, you don't claim it or embrace it. It's an unofficial tank. Decrease Bradley Beal's minutes, increase Troy Brown's minutes, continue to develop Thomas Bryant. You shop Otto Porter, Markieff and Wall. They're both not tradable because they're injured. You tank, wink, wink. Get you a high draft pick. Get a Zion. Get an RJ Barrett. Somebody. Get you a Bol Bol. Somebody. Get a high draft pick. You tank. And Mark, I hope that in-depth analysis I gave helps you at least understand my point of view of the first part of your question. Should they tank or not? Yes, they should tank, and that's how the Wizards should do it. We're going to take a break. We come back. I'm going to discuss Bradley Beal to the Los Angeles Lakers. This is part two of Mark's conversation. Discuss that. Be right back after this. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Locked On Wizards, part of the Locked On Network, your daily news from local experts. My name is Quinn Mayo. I'm spearheading this voicemail question right now. And here's part two. Do the Washington Wizards trade Bradley Beal to the Lakers for Brandon Ingram, maybe Rondo, maybe KCP, some salary pieces. Do they move Beal to LA? Here's my answer. No. No. No, no, no. No. Here are three reasons why the Wizards and the Lakers will not trade each other pieces. Here are three reasons why. Number one, the Lakers aren't pressed to win a championship right now this season. They have a good squad assembled right now. I know LeBron is injured in this, that, and the third. They're not. This is not what all their chips are in. All the chips are not in on this season. This is the first step in a bigger plan for the Los Angeles Lakers. They're not a championship team right now. Of course, they're going to compete for one. If you have a guy named LeBron James on your team, obviously he can compete with the Golden State Warriors all by himself. And he has a better team than he did with the Cavaliers. Yeah, but this is not the plan. Let me rephrase that. Will they compete for a championship? I will put them in the finals. I would put them in the finals. Either them or Houston against Golden State. It's going to be hard because Houston, the way James Harden is playing right now, is absolutely ridiculous. If he can get some help from his teammates and Chris Paul can come back from his injury, this can be a scary team once again. But I do not like them moving on from Trevor Ariza, who was one of their best 3-and-D guys when they had him. And they lost Luke Mbahumute, who was a great perimeter defender, as well as he could guard the bigger guys when need be. But I do think it's a three-team race to get to the postseason, to get to the championship game. And that's Golden State number one, Houston number two, maybe the Lakers. But this is not the Lakers all in. This is not their one shot. This is a bigger race in the LeBron era. And this moves beyond this game. I mean, this season, excuse me. Fact number two, reason number two, just as fascinated as you all are of how good Brandon Ingram could possibly be, so are the Lakers. So are the Lakers. That's why they haven't pulled the trigger yet. That's why they haven't made the move, made the trade. They haven't moved on from Brandon Ingram because when you have a guy that's as tall as KD, kind of, just as tall as KD, can shoot, decent, has a ceiling that he still has yet to reach in shooting, can play in the post, can defend. We have a guy like Brandon Ingram who can possibly be a once in a generation talent, one of the top talents in this era right now, especially a young guy. You don't just move him on a whim. You can't do that. So just as fascinated as Wizards fans may be of what Brandon Ingram could add to a team like the Wizards, what they need right now, it's the same thing Magic Johnson is saying to himself. Same way Pelinka is saying to himself. They know. They know he's a good, he could be a very good player. So they're going to let him develop a little bit more, see where he's going, but they're not in any rush to move him. Absolutely not in any rush to move him, especially not to the Wizards. Especially not just for Bradley Beal. Like, Bradley Beal is a really, really good player. Like, top 25, maybe top 20 player in the National Basketball Association. He's a really good player. And him beside LeBron James in LA, it seems perfect. It seems like a great fit for him. Yes, I know. However, no, they're not going to move him just yet. They want to see how it plays out with him. So, we'll have to see that. But reason number three, last but not least, and I told y'all I wasn't going to be long. And if I didn't tell y'all, I meant I was going to be long. But this is one of those things where this is not tanking in detail. This is a trade that I don't think is going to happen. And I don't think they should. No, I don't think they should do. This is one of those. So it's not going to take me long to get this across. Adding Bradley Beal. This is the Lakers. If you add Bradley Beal, that eliminates the Lakers. That eliminates their ability to add a max level talent this offseason. Bringing in Beal's contract this year eliminates them from the Kevin Durant sweepstake. Who knows what Kevin Durant's going to do? But we're not going to act like Kevin Durant's name hasn't been floating around in connection to the Lakers organization. He's also said he had the fallout with Draymond. You know, they may be cool now, but that's no incident. You know what I'm saying? He has his rings. He can do whatever he wants to do. He can go wherever he wants to go. He's a free spirit. If you add Bradley Beal now, it takes you out of the Kevin Durant sweepstakes and it eliminates you from the max level deals you can possibly give out this offseason. A Bradley Beal trade can be made this season. It can be made next season. It can be made at various points It doesn't have to happen right now. And especially when they want to add a big time. Like, Beal is big time. Okay? Don't get me wrong here. But when they want to add a big time talent. They tried to add Paul George last year. They thought they had Paul George in the back. That is a big time deal, especially with LeBron James. Bradley Beal is a big time deal. Paul George is a big time deal. Kawhi Leonard is a big time deal. Kevin Durant is a big time deal. They do not want to take themselves out of that sweepstakes. So, with Beal under contract until what, 2021? 2020? He'll be here. Supposedly, he'll be here. But also, the Lakers don't want to eliminate themselves from contention of a big-time max-level player this offseason, but they're also still waiting on Brandon Ingram. It just goes hand-in-hand. That patience goes hand-in-hand for the Lakers. We can wait to see what B.I. is going to be, while also keeping our pockets fat enough to where we can add maybe a Kawhi Leonard. We can convince Kawhi to come here, or a Kevin Durant. Or, you know what I'm saying? And if all else fails, then yeah, they'll add a Bradley Beal. Yeah, he's a big time. That's a big deal. If they had Bradley Beal on the Lakers right now, I would not have them number two under the Rockets. The Lakers right now, with LeBron, Kuzma, because you can't touch Lonzo, you can't touch Kuzma, you can't touch any of the young guys. They have said that they're not moving into those young pieces. The Wizards even spoke about Kuzma. They're hanging up the phone. They might not even be answering the phone right now, unless you're giving Bradley Beal away, which is something Ernie Grunfeld might do. But you can't touch any of those young guys. That young core, Kuzma and Lonzo and them, you can't touch them. So if anything, it'll be Beal for B.I., and they also don't want you to touch Brandon Ingram. But Beal for B.I., Rondo and KCP for salary purposes. Something like that. No, I don't jump at that. And I don't think the Lakers jump at that either. But that team right now with Bradley Beal on it would be my number two team in the league. Only reason they'd be number two is because I go with a team that's familiar with each other. You got a Golden State team that's been together for quite some time. They've been with KD for 2-3 years. Yeah, they just have that cohesion. They know how everything ticks. They know how each other works. But if they had Bradley Beal on the Lakers right now, It's a tough series. Very tough. So, in a nutshell, should they trade Bradley Beal for Brandon Ingram? No, you don't. Right now, the Wizards should not trade anybody until they definitely look themselves in the mirror and decide what they are as a team. Are they tanking? Yes or no? Are we competing? Are we a playoff team? They have not faced that fact yet. They still think they can compete. They still think they can make the postseason. That's the reason why they have done and executed things the way they have executed, operated the way they're operating. They think they can sneak in the playoffs and make a run. And with Wall done for the season, with Markieff dealing with the neck, Dwight Howard, no timetable on his return. Otto Porter's dealing with a knee injury. But, I mean, he had a good night last night. But other than that, he's been underwhelming all season long. He's just not a $106 million player. With Bradley Beal and Thomas Bryant being the only bright spots on your team, you're not a playoff team, my man. And they don't realize that. So until they say, hey, we are not good enough to compete this year, this is a lost season, we should rebuild, which is a word that they don't want to hear. We should build for the future. We should get picks. We should gather picks. We should get stuff. We should get picks for our assets instead of sending Kelly Oubre and Austin Rivers to the Suns for Trevor Ariza and nothing else. They obviously don't think they're in a rebuild. They made the move for a reason because they thought they could compete right now, this year, and they can't. They can't. And until they realize that, I don't want them making any moves because everything else is just, it's ignorant. It's ignorant to think that you have a chance and that you're making these moves to win now when you don't. When you don't. You missed it. You missed out. This team is 16-24. You've missed out. It's over. You can't keep having Bradley Beal play the third most minutes in the National Basketball Association. And the second option on your team is Thomas Bryant. I'm sorry. That's not going to work. They need to look in the mirror and say, this is who we are. We are a tanking team. We are a losing team. We cannot compete this year. This is a lost season. Let me preserve Bradley Beal. Let me develop Troy Brown Jr. Let me develop Thomas Bryant. Let me trade Otto Porter's contract away and get some draft picks. Let me do these things. They have to embrace that they are not going to be a playoff contender this year right now before they make any decisions as far as trading players away and things of that nature. So, no, Beal to LA, no, not going to happen. That's where I stand on it, and that's just it. So, Mark, I definitely appreciate your call, my man, from Boston. Longtime fan, first-time caller, first-ever caller. Definitely appreciate it. So, thank you for listening to the Locked On Wizards, part of the Locked On Network, your daily news from local experts. My name is Quinn Mayo. You know the name. You know the voice. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TOQM underscore. Call into the voicemail, man. Leave a call. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know your opinions. Our number is 804-453-8608. DC family. I'm out of here.